today on Revival Radio with Pastor John Miller.
I'm willing to die if need be, even in Jerusalem, and I count not my life dear unto me. Again, Philippians chapter 3 as well, where Paul talked about his priorities and that he came to know Christ and everything else was refuse, that I might win him and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, but that righteousness which is through the faith of Jesus Christ. So Paul was willing to give his life to fulfill the ministry that God had called him to.
Today's message is a powerful testimony of a life lived well for Christ. Pastor John will be laying out the life of Paul, a missionary and pastor who wrote much of the New Testament books. Paul's ministry, really his whole life, was dedicated to bringing glory to God and sharing the gospel. He taught the word wherever God sent him. He encouraged believers and trained other pastors. And in the end, he obediently followed the Holy Spirit's promptings, though he knew it could lead to death. Now let's join Pastor John in the book of Acts chapter 20 as he continues his message, Portrait of a Pastor.
I want to read the passage from verse 22 to verse 27, and then we'll set the context and look again at this portrait of Paul the pastor. It says in verse 22, "And now behold, Paul speaking, I go bound in the Spirit." And we'll come back to that. We don't know if it's the Holy Spirit or Paul's human spirit. And even though we can't distinguish which it is, it doesn't really matter because I believe the Holy Spirit was in Paul and working together with his human spirit, giving him a desire to go to Jerusalem. So he says, "I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem." I don't know the things that befall me there. I don't know what the future holds. He might have gone on to say, but I know who holds the future because he's actually living here by faith. The only thing I do know, verse 23, is that the Holy Spirit is witnessing in every city saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, Paul said, neither count I my life dear unto me, that I may finish my course with joy and the race that God has set before me. Now, I want you to note that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry or the path that God has given me that I've received of the Lord Jesus Christ to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Paul is on his way to Jerusalem. It's on the end of the third missionary journey, and Paul has been collecting an offering for the poor saints in Jerusalem. He's been going in the areas of Greece, which is Achaia in the south and Macedonia in the north. And he's traveling on this third missionary journey. He's on his way back now. And he has come to this seaport little town of Miletus. And it's about 20 miles inland from Miletus is the city of Ephesus. And Paul had spent 3 years in the city of Ephesus establishing that church. But he wants to get fastly to Jerusalem. He wanted to get there for the Passover. It didn't happen. Now he wants to get there for Pentecost, 50 days after the Passover, and he's hoping to get there. So he's on his way to Jerusalem. Now, if we go back for just a moment, I want to remind you of the ministry of Paul the Apostle as he meets with these elders at Ephesus. I want you to go back to verse 17. "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus, and he called the elders of the church." And I talked to you about the elders being pastors, that they're called elders, they're called bishops, sometimes translated overseers, and they're also called pastors. When he uses the phrase in verse 28, "feed the flock of God," we got our word pastor, the flock of God. So it's one individual called an elder, a pastor, or a bishop, or an overseer. Now, notice the things that Paul makes mention about his ministry. His motive was, in verse 19, that he was serving the Lord. So number one, Paul was a servant of the Lord. He wasn't serving man. He was serving the Lord. Now, that's really important for us to catch. At the foundation of all our ministries is we're doing it as unto the Lord, not as unto men. Paul said, if I'm the servant of man, I cannot be the servant of Christ. It's so important that we have that as our motive. We're serving God and for His glory. And then secondly, the manner of His ministry was humility. Notice in verse 19, He says, I'm doing this with all humility. There's always a danger when God begins to use us that we'll be lifted up with pride and fall into the condemnation of the devil. But Paul says, I'm doing it in humility. And then notice the method in his message, verse 20 and 21. He says in verse 20, I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, which is going to be a great parallel to verse 27 when we get there, that he says there, I have not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God. So Paul didn't pick and choose what he wanted to preach and teach. He was bound to declare to them the whole counsel of God. And he showed them by his life, verse 20, and I've showed you, and then he also had taught them. So he was by example and by his teaching. You know, something really stood out to me today as I was reading again these passages, that when Paul talks about himself as a pastor and as a minister, he keeps coming back and back and back again to this reoccurring theme that his life was an example. His life was an example. His life was an example. I think that we bought kind of into it as the church, the culture, that you can separate what the man is and what this message is. We have that with politicians today. Their lives morally can be a wreck, but we thought, well, we like their policies or we'll accept what they're doing. And maybe we accept that with a businessman or maybe with a doctor or something like that. But it's sad that it's creeped into the ministry to where, oh, well, he's such a gifted speaker and he's such a dynamic orator and he's such a wonderful pastor. It doesn't matter if he's got these moral failures or these collapses in his life. But in the Bible, it's always being held up that the pastor is to be an example of the believer. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, be thou an example of the believers. You are to be, as a Christian, an example to other believers of what a believer is to be. But especially those who preach the word, they need to live by the word. So the key characteristic of successful leadership is that they live exemplary lives. And then notice verse 20, I've taught you. So there's example, and then there's the teaching of the scriptures. And then his ministry was to all Jew and Greek. And his message, verse 21, was repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we move to a new section of this farewell speech to these Ephesian elders. As Paul meets on the beach at Miletus with these pastors, Paul now in verse 22 to 27 begins to talk about his present ministry and about his philosophy of ministry. Now, let me make a distinction very important for you. What we have quite often in the church today is men in ministry who have orthodoxy. Their doctrine is sound or biblical, but their practice is not. And I know that seems pretty bizarre, but it can happen. For pragmatic reasons, they don't really practice a biblical philosophy of ministry. There's a real tendency today to want to grow a successful church. Let me tell you something. In God's economy, there are no big preachers and there are no small churches. You got that? No big preachers and no small churches. God cares about even little congregations. They're churches of Christ. He cares about them. But what happens is a lot of times a man will leave a biblical philosophy of ministry. If you interviewed him, he would be orthodox, but in his practice, it's not really a biblical philosophy of ministry. So I believe that a pastor should get his cue on what he is to be and do from the Bible, not from the culture. That a pastor should go to the Bible and discover, what am I supposed to be? What am I supposed to do? What is the church supposed to be? What is the church supposed to do? That all that we believe for life and godliness comes to us from the Word of God. So as Paul opens his heart, he gives us five pictures. If you're taking notes, you can write them down. They're quite fascinating about the pastorate or about the ministry, particularly referring to these elders at Ephesus and his own life in his present ministry, but it relates to all of us as well. So five pictures Paul paints of pastoral ministry. The first picture is that of an accountant. Now, I want you to see that in verse 24. He says, none of these things move me, neither count, there's the concept, neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I may finish my course with joy in the ministry for which I've received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Now, Paul says in verse 22, I am bound in the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. Those of you that know the story of the book of Acts and the life of Paul, you know that when Paul gets to Jerusalem, what happens? He gets arrested. He gets thrown into prison. He gets put on a ship and he gets sent to Rome. Now, that's his heart's desire to see Rome, but he didn't know he would go there as a prisoner. Sometimes God's plans are different than ours. God puts it in Paul's heart to go to Rome, and so he has him arrested, has him put in prison, and then he has him shipped by via the Roman government all the way to Rome. You know, God's kind of into economics, too. He said, save Paul a bunch of money. He didn't go first class. He went in chains, but God fulfilled his desire. But what happened was, is as Paul's going on his way to Jerusalem, he kept getting these warnings that he would be arrested, that he would be persecuted, that he would be opposed, and that he would be facing opposition and persecution and maybe even death. I want to show it to you. Look at chapter 21 and verse 4. On the way back, Paul says, finding certain disciples, we tarried for 7 days. He's in Tyre, on the northern coast of Israel, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. Now, this is what confuses people. You say, well, here the Holy Spirit is warning Paul, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. But Paul says, I'm bound in the Spirit, I'm going to do it. Then notice as they come down in the text of verse 8, he says, the next day we that were with Paul's company, we departed and we came to Caesarea. And we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, was one of the seven, and we abode with him. Remember back in Acts chapter 6, we had the seven deacons chosen to wait on tables. One of them was Stephen, and he became an evangelist. Well, Paul's stopping to hang out at Philip's house, not Stephen, but Philip. He had Stephen and Philip. Philip was the evangelist that went down to Samaria. And it says that he had seven daughters that prophesied. Notice it says there, and the same men abode four daughters, virgins, verse 9, which did prophesy. And we tarried there for many days, and there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was coming to us, he took Paul's belt, King James says girdle, and bound his own hands and his feet and said, thus saith the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt, and he shall deliver him to the hands of the Gentiles. Now when the believers heard these things, we and they that are of the place, we begged him, that is, we begged Paul not to go to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered and said, what mean ye to weep and to break my heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased saying, the will of the Lord be done. Go back with me to chapter 20 and verse 24. So Paul says, I'm bound in the Spirit to go to Jerusalem, verse 22, and the Holy Ghost is witnessing that in every city I go to, that bonds and afflictions await me. You say, what kind of a crazy man is this? Paul had a desire. Now, the word bound in the Spirit means that I'm just held fast by chains. It means that there's no way out of it. I'm just being driven. I'm just got this strong urge and desire to go to Jerusalem. I believe that that was placed on his heart by God. But he says, I don't really know all that's involved. All I know is when I get there, I'm going to be arrested and I'm going to be put into prison. Now, we would be going the opposite direction, right? We would be going the opposite direction as fast as we can. But Paul said, I believe this is God's will. But this is what confuses people. They conclude that God is telling him not to go because of the warnings. And that's not necessarily the case. I believe that what we have here in these passages is that God is telling him what's going to happen, but God is not forbidding him to go. There's a big difference. God isn't saying, don't go. He's actually just saying, this is what's going to happen when you do go. Now, we might say, well, why would God tell him that? Well, when Paul was saved on the road to Damascus and Ananias came and laid hands on him, the Lord actually said to then Saul, he says, I will show him what great things he will suffer for my name's sake. You know, when you serve the Lord, life isn't always easy. Life can be very difficult. It can be very hard. But when you're called by God, you can't do anything else but follow that will and calling of God. You don't pull back. You don't shirk back. You don't get in fear that, oh no, it's going to be difficult. Oh no, they're going to be opposition. Oh no, people will persecute me. You have to say, I believe God's called me and I know it's going to be difficult. He's made it clear, but I'm going to follow his path and his purpose for my life. In Philippians chapter 4, there was the man Epaphroditus, who it says that he gambled with his life to fulfill the believers in Philippi, their lack of service toward Paul. And Paul says here in verse 24, I want you to notice it, he says, none of these things move me. They wept, they cried. They said, please, Paul, don't go. And he says, well, what are you trying to, you're trying to make me not go? You're trying to move me? He said, none of these things move me. But notice the phrase, verse 24, I count not my life dear to myself. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. Why? So that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the grace of God. What an amazing statement that is. Paul says, I'm willing to die if need be, even in Jerusalem, and I count not my life dear unto me. Again, Philippians chapter 3 as well, where Paul talked about his priorities and that he came to know Christ and everything else was refuse, that I might win him and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, but that righteousness which is through the faith of Jesus Christ. So Paul was willing to give his life to fulfill the ministry that God had called him to. So what happens is Paul looks at his bank account of his life. He opens the books of his life and he realized that it was more important for him to do God's will and to follow God's will, even though there would be persecution and trouble and difficulty. Heard the story of a missionary by the name of James Colvert. He was a young missionary many, many years ago that was going to the Fijian Islands to reach the heathens on Fiji. And I've been there and I can imagine 100 years ago what it might have been like on the Fijian Islands. And the captain of the boat, before he left him and his missionary team off, said, look, you will certainly be killed by these wild natives. All of you will be killed. You'll be wiped out. You won't survive. You're going to die. And this young missionary said to the captain, he says, we already died before we came. I love that. You know, the Bible says that we are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live. Not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, one of our primary natures is self-preservation, is to take care of ourselves, to protect ourselves. But Paul says, listen, I'm willing to do whatever. I'm not going to think about myself or live but for myself or try to preserve myself. I count not my life dear to myself. And the reason was that he wanted to finish the race. So the first picture is that of an accountant. He says, when I look at my life, I don't value it. I value doing the will of God. Someone said the reason we are not effective in our Christian service is that we value our lives far more than we do our witness. I like that. Where we're worried more about our lives than we are our witness or our comfort over obedience to God and His will for us. Second image he gives is in verse 24 as well, and that is that of a runner. So first he's an accountant, then he's a runner. In the statement he makes, verse 24, that I might finish my course with joy. Paul mentions three things in verse 24, my life, my course, and my ministry. My life, my course, and my ministry. And Paul saw them all as gifts from God, and we should as well. God's given us our life, He's given us our course, and He's given us a ministry, and we need to run that race. Interesting, when he came to the end of his life, and by the way, Paul was only going to live at this point for another 10 years. Can you imagine if you knew that you only had 10 years left? What would you do with your time? Paul only had 10 years left, and when he wrote 2 Timothy, he comes to the fourth chapter, and he says, I've fought the good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith. Therefore, there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me, and not for me only, but for all those who love His appearing. So I've fought the fight, he's a wrestler, I've run the race, he's a runner, I've kept the faith, I haven't given up, and I've finished my course, and therefore there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me and for all those who love His appearing. But notice that he does his ministry and finishes the course with joy. So we serve the Lord, with humility, and we serve the Lord with fidelity, and we serve the Lord with joy. And then we move to the third picture, verse 24, is that of a steward. This is my favorite. In verse 24, he says, the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Now, catch that phrase, the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify. So he's both a steward, God has entrusted the ministry to him, and he's a witness, I need to testify of what God has done in my life. So the minister or the pastor, and I believe that we as individual Christians are stewards. Now, we don't understand this concept today, but in the Bible days, if you were a wealthy landowner and you had lots of servants and you had lots of animals and lots of property and lots of money and lots of things to do, and you were busy kind of traveling around doing your job, you needed someone to manage that. You needed someone to oversee your servants and made sure they're getting paid and made sure they're doing their job and made sure that their work schedules were laid out. It was what we would call a manager today. So what you would do is you would entrust your estate, you would trust all your money, you would trust all your servants, you would entrust all your property to your steward. None of it belonged to the steward. He was only a manager. But the owner would go away, then he would come back, and the steward would have to give a report to the owner about what he did with his goods. So this concept is now transferred over to the minister, and it's very simple. God has entrusted to the pastor his word.
The Apostle Paul had an unparalleled view of his life. It didn't matter to him. Today, Pastor John shared a picture of what Paul did with his life and ministry after Jesus found him. Pastor John told of the heart behind Paul's ministry and how it didn't matter to him what danger lay ahead. Paul was going to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit no matter what. He knew that God had given him a specific task, and he planned to fulfill it.
Hi, it's Pastor John. I want to let you know about an important resource we've put together. It's a booklet we titled Tragedy and Triumph. The reason we put this together is because there's so much confusion today about the cross of Jesus Christ. Why did Jesus die, and what did it accomplish, and what is the essence of his death on the cross? We also talk about the resurrection, the importance that Jesus rose physically and bodily from the grave. Without the resurrection, there's no hope. For more information about the booklet, check it out at revival.tv.
Another aspect of the Apostle Paul's life and ministry was that he was a steward of God's word. Next time on Revival Radio, Pastor John will share that this is your job too. As a believer in Jesus, you are called to steward or manage what's been entrusted to you. You hold a precious and powerful message in your hands. It's hope for a dying world and light for the darkness. How will you handle that message? There's much more to learn from Pastor John's series, The Gospel of the Spirit, so we hope you'll tune in again, right here on Revival Radio.